we've had a little wander around, obviously speaking to the Yorkshire Young Farmers Association. They were very excited by the whole show event. Clearly the fine fashion folk were there. We've also been joined by Jill Prowse. Good to see you, Jill.
Hi there. It's great to be here. Excellent. Nice to see good weather.
Well, it's absolutely essential. I just came up from the World's Words Festival where we were having such delights as former poet laureate Andrew Motion there, so it's important to actually work through that. And Andrew actually did say the one poem he always felt he wanted to write when he was actually the poet laureate, and might well still do, is Ode to Judy Thompson, the main sort of press officer, or possibly ode to various other folk at the Great Yorkshire Show. Judy, good to see you as always.
Hello, Alex. Thanks for that.
Yeah, you see, I always like to give a slightly different interview introduction, shall we say. Another fabulous Countryside Live, the 8th Countryside Live, of course, just going from strength to strength.
Yes, and we've got a lovely blue sky today, so we're hoping for lots of crowds through the gates.
Now, the crucial thing, of course, looking at the numbers, I think it was just over 2 years ago we had the record numbers, and last year we were so close but just didn't quite manage to tip that balance. What's the sort of likelihood this year of getting over the 10,000 or the 1,100 mark, or the 11,000 mark, I should say?
Well, hopefully, yes, that would be nice, and certainly having fine weather today will help that, but we'll see what happens at the end of the day.
Precisely. Your own favourite items from the show? I mean, obviously, Bill was very keen on the extreme motorbiking. I did suggest he might take part in it. That's, of course, Bill Cowling. Might have gone off there now, in fact.
Oh, right. Well, if he's getting himself on a motorbike, I think we need to be there with a camera. But that wouldn't be my top choice. I think perhaps the alpacas. We've got them here for the first time. So I shall be having a look at those today.
And, of course, the X Factor equine events. Quite extraordinary, really. I mean, Simon Cowell, a different line entirely, really.
Yes, sadly, Simon was just a touch busy this weekend. Otherwise, I'm sure he would have been here. But we've got Graham Fletcher and Tina Fletcher, who are obviously extremely well known and recognised in the equine circuit. They're running our new competition, which is to find the next greatest talented show jumper, if I can spit that out.
And indeed, Tina, just fresh from the Kentucky Challenge, of course, part of that Rolex Challenge as well.
That's right, yes, yes, she's a very famous lady, so we're glad she's here.
Indeed, badminton, Burley, Kentucky, if they can win all three, you get lots of wonderful Rolex stuff. Jill, questions?
The Birds of Prey, I'm looking forward to seeing those this year, because at least we've got the nice weather for it, haven't we?
We have, that's right, and they're just round the corner here. There's vultures, eagles, and I think a couple of falcons, and a very nice chap who does the commentary, who's very keen to chat all about them and tell you what does what.
And one of the favourite things my daughter did, who's here with me today, Holly, who's 8, last year was making pizzas and things, so there's lots of things for the children to do.
There is indeed. In the Country Crafts experience, there's everything from felt making to bread making to basket making. And, of course, we've got Ladies in Pigs, who are the ladies group who promote pig farmers. They're making the bacon butties throughout the day. So that's a good place to head for.
Precisely so.
Lovely. That sounds great to me. Looking forward to it.
It's just great. And, of course, a little name check for Rebecca, your co-assistant here, is always slaving over the machine with respect to all sorts of details there, Judy.
Of course she is. Yes, yes. Rebecca's been here, all of 10 minutes, I think, working hard.
She's squeezed the juice out of every one of those 600 seconds, I can tell you. Absolutely sorted through on that. Judy, fabulous as ever. I mean, it sounds dreadful to be thinking about 2011 already, but of course Great Yorkshire Show will be taking shape as well for that, really.
Yes, absolutely. In tandem with putting this together, we obviously have got our eyes set on next July 12th, 13th and 14th, when the Great Yorkshire takes place.
I'm becoming emotionally overcome, I can tell, just as a result of that, really. Sort of choking with the emotion of it all.
Something like that, yes. More the bacon sandwich, I think.
Yeah. Well, that of course is to be booked ahead. And as we said when we were talking to the Yorkshire Young Farmers Association, the great thing about Countryside Live is it extends the exhibition season quite substantially into the autumn months, and means that really you're almost talking about year-round opportunities for farmers to exhibit their stock and various other things as well.
Yes, that's right. And Countryside Live is really well established on the farming calendar now, with the we're full with the cattle and sheep numbers up as well, so it's great to see so many animals there, and also for the public to see.
Classic Land, of course, record numbers of entrants in all the classes, I believe.
That's right, yes. Pleased about that. So, onwards and upwards.
Success, always success. Judy, is always a delight and a pleasure. We'll hopefully catch up with you again, if not later, then certainly in various other schemes and shows and various other bits and pieces.
Yes, we'll look forward to it then.
David Dixon for judging this class.
We're just actually sitting outside the main ring. In fact, we're standing outside the main ring. And Jill, would you like to just describe what we're seeing here?
Well, we've got some beautiful horses there, stood very, very still, being very good, apart from one little one who's misbehaving terribly. And I think we're just looking to see, they're just going to mark them, I think, on presentation and how beautiful they step round the ring. So they're stepping round the ring now. all looking magnificent. As I say, there's one very, very small one in the middle there that doesn't seem to quite fit in. Oh, he's got it going now, it's fine.
Just for a moment, though, I thought, was it there for comedy effect? Was it a case of it's a different line entirely? This was quite extraordinary. I mean, that's something which certainly impacted on Countryside Live, the fact that they've now got a lot of internationally recognised riders coaching and developing this. And, of course, we could be looking at prospective candidates for London 2012.
Well, that's it. I mean, it's like any show, isn't it? It's got to build up, and this seems to be doing very well. I mean, each year I've come along, it's got better and bigger. And as I say, the sun's shining today, everything seems to be going marvellously for it, and the horses are beautiful as always.
Well, Judy did mention the falconry. Shall we try and track down those fine falconry people and see what they've got to talk about?
Sounds marvellous.
OK, Ben G. Potter, Birds of Prey, a van that actually passed me earlier today when I was just wandering into the showground, and we're very fortunate now to be speaking to you.
Thank you. It's Ben Potter himself.
The very same, Ben G. Potter. Fantastic stuff. Ben, Birds of Prey, they're always going to be an attractant to crowds and shows, etc. We have a fascination. Jill's just been saying how the vultures always seem to have an attitude, don't they?
Yeah, they do. They always look a bit like grumpy, and why am I here? But I was saying that my family and I, whenever we go anywhere where there is a display of Birds of Prey, we're always first in the line for them to land and feed off the glove, and it's just fabulous. They're so beautiful, so graceful, and they're so light as well. You know, you can't believe how graceful and lightly they come in to land on your hand.
Well, we have, like, I mean, today we have six birds with us. Three of them are out of our eagle and vulture team that we have, and we have three that we've had to leave at home today because, just as you can see, where we're stood, there's not a great deal of space inside. So we brought three of the very small birds as well today. But like you say, yeah, it's a good attraction. You know, we do about 120, 130 shows. I think 137 this year we've been at with the two display teams, which it speaks for itself. You know, people want to see them and, you know, like you say, get involved, have a go at holding them and feed them and whatnot, yeah.
Ben, do you have actually where the birds are held, and do you have somewhere people can come and visit you to see the birds, or do you just do displays and take them out?
I just do displays because I work from home, you see, and it's quite a small property, and I rent the fields at the side of the house to keep the birds and exercise them in. It's not really geared up to have visitors around, you know. So no, we just do this travelling display of eagles and vultures usually, and the other team that we have, yeah.
The Harry Potter series has been obviously responsible for a lot of interest in the owls. Have you noticed that an awful lot of people are getting more interested in terms of owls just as a result of that?
You'll find that happens with anything, doesn't it? When there's 101 Dalmatians, everyone wanted a Dalmatian at every show you were at. And with the Harry Potter thing, there's a lot of birds that are impulse sport. So I think, you know, us as a display people, morally, you have to try and teach the right sort of way of looking after animals and say, it's very beautiful, it looks nice, but the realistic fact of it is it will live for 20 or 30 years. It eats a lot of dead things. It's not easy to keep right, and what you see on TV isn't really what you get in life.
No, I know, it's a bit of a shocker, but there we are.
Is it a problem, though? Is it a big problem, people actually trying to buy birds of prey and then keep them in totally incorrect conditions and feed them incorrectly and everything?
Well, the UK is a funny place, you know, in the UK. You can go and buy a Rottweiler or a German Shepherd, you know, you can go and buy a bald eagle or a griffon vulture, and there is no real registration or licensing. Don't get me wrong, with some species, they have to be registered. You know, animal health has to know that you've got that bird, but it doesn't stop yourself from going buying one, or you buying one, or me buying one, you know. Now, I've done this 14 years now, professionally as a living, but you can have anybody approach us, and by law, we could sell them, any one of the birds you see sat next to us.
No, you can't sell them.
You won't get nothing from me. You won't get nothing from me. You know,
exactly.
I'm Yorkshire. I'm tight through and through. They're staying with us.
Quite right. And, of course, I do like the line Everything But the Pony, which is, I mean, tell us about the best online source for pony tack. And, I mean, it's a bit of cross-promotions here, but I should just talk about this because it's being sponsored, of course, by Birds of Prey.
Yeah, what we basically do, I mean, because it's a travelling display team and we're at a lot of big agricultural horse events, country shows throughout the UK. A good friend of mine, Pam Stewart, actually runs Everything But the Pony as a company. And to get us both off the ground, we're working with each other, you see. So she promotes me, and I've always promoted herself as well at the shows too.
Genuine cross-promotion, much like Southside operates, really, Jill.
That's quite true, yes, and it works very well, doesn't it?
We thank Charles Ather and company as well when he's not Morris dancing and actually dealing with legal aspects as well. Fantastic stuff. Ben, in terms of a web address for yourself, how can people get in touch with you if they want to book you?
Yeah, it's dead easy. If you look at the internet, it's www.birdsofpreydisplays.co.uk.
And as Jill mentioned today, weather probably ideal, would you say, for good displays?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not bothered me. I'll stand out there in rain, hail or snow, really. But for ideal, you know, flying, we need a good breezy day and a bit of open space. And we're blessed with both of those and a bit of sunshine too.
Fantastic stuff. And a quick name check for your colleague here who's crouching down, obviously sort of engaging in eye-to-eye contact with the owl as well.
Yeah, this is Joe Johnson. He's worked with me now since he was 11 year old, Joe. He's 18 now. Because there's two of us run this display team, we can really put 100% into it, you know. At some events, events we go to, there isn't a lot of space. But wherever I'm stood or just, we can work between each other, you see, and if you have a bird that needs to be sent out the arena up to a hill, we can put, you know, the work together for it to give the maximum result, really, yeah.
And, of course, you'll probably be able to tell from the acoustics here, we actually are inside here before, obviously, you go out. So presumably even in spaces like this, you know, sometimes you've got to just see how things sort out.
This is a funny place to be. When you're indoors, these are very wild creatures, just conditioned to sort of behave themselves. You know, we work with them every day, but if you don't work with them each day, you can't get them to sit and behave like that. When you bring anything like that inside, it echoes, you know, there's no wind coming through, it's very false, isn't it? And they pick up on it. So you need very, very laid-back birds, but you need to have people, so I can talk to you, sat there in case one of them gets upset with a push.
It's a microphone.
Yeah, that's it, you're right, yeah, yeah. But we're usually based outside, you know, on outside, yeah. In the grass it's a lot easier. But I'm quite pleased with the weather, because it's been very cold. Yeah, it's dry but cold, and inside's a good place to be today.
And finally, where can people actually look forward to seeing you over the next few months or so? Have we got any particular shows that you're going to be present at?
Well, unfortunately, this is our last big event. We only have two more private shows, and that's finished our season now. But next year, basically, we're out and about, you know, every single week. And if you look on the website, you know, birdsofpreydisplays.co.uk, it'll have the events list up there. And we do a lot of shows like the Great Yorkshire Show. We do, you know, Harewood House Country Game Fair, a lot local as well.
We will have to sort of follow you through 2011. Ben, for the moment, many thanks indeed. That's Ben G. What's the G stand for?
It's my granddad's name.
Oh, yeah, very good. Right. Just G, or was it Graham?
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, Ben Potter from Birds of Prey, of course, many thanks indeed.
Thank you.
Well, Ben actually talked to me about, obviously, sticks and tools, and said you must go and have a chat with the people who are actually looking after sticks. And so we're now speaking to you.
Ken Harner from Follyfoot. Welcome to the showground.
I was just going to say, there are those of us of a certain chronological age, Ken, who when you say Follyfoot, instantly think of the television series and Follyfoot Farm and the Lightning Tree.
Yeah. That wasn't made at Follyfoot, it was made at Harewood.
I know, it was always a bit of a shocker, but never mind.
Yeah.
But apart from that, talk to us about the sticks we've got here.
Well, they're mainly made by myself and two friends. Most of them sold for the benefit of the Air Ambulance and the Macmillan Nurses. Last year I raised £3,000 for them. Over the last 8 years I've raised £15,000.
Which is fantastic stuff, Ken. And I think, Jill, you need to actually sort of engage in question mode here.
Well, really, I'm just admiring them all the sticks, and just having a chat here with the work that's gone into them. I mean, they're absolutely beautiful, and you can see that there's a lot of time, a lot of effort gone into them. And I was just asking, do they, paint themselves and everything? And you do everything, don't you?
That's right, carve them and paint them all myself. Yeah, this section here. It takes a lot of time, but at the end, the result is, it's rewarding, really.
Voice you're hearing there, presumably Steve Carter?
No, Ken McKinley.
Oh, Ken McKinley. Oh, sorry, I'm very confused. Look at it's all very confusing, one way or the other. The range of things you've actually got there, all different forms of life, of wildlife, from badgers, from horses, from otters, from deer and so on. Inspiration?
It's just wildlife. I'm into wildlife. I love anything to do with wildlife, really. And there's such a variation. Not knocking the world of horses. A horse is a horse to me. But likes of this, it's a bit of a challenge anywhere to get.
You've even got a pheasant there, I see.
Yeah, one or two pheasants, cock pheasant.
I always find pheasants just a very amusing animal. I don't know why. It's just the way they possibly sort of instantly sort of offer themselves up for sacrifice when cars
come around. That's right. Yeah, they're a bit crazy that way, aren't they?
They'll
run alongside you. As soon as you get level with them, they'll run out in front of you. Yeah. You're just a bit crazy, really.
Come and have a go if you think you're hard enough. Roughly how long do you take to actually produce one of these?
To do one of these, it takes probably 5 days, not full 8-hour days, just maybe 4 hours one day, six, depends how I'm feeling, really. To finish one like that, about 4 to 5 days. To do something like this, you've got to step back and leave it a while, because it can get a bit monotonous. So you leave it for a while and go back. It could take me 2 or 3 months, just not continuous.
And did it come from just basic whittling as a lad, or was it
I've always been interested in wildlife and walking, and I'm a falconer. I fly birds of prey. I have done for 27 years now, and I've always been into the wildlife. And messing on, a bit of whittling here, an odd stick, I thought, I might have a go at doing this. And I got a bit better. I thought, hey, it's not bad as this, and then put a bit of paint on it, and they're turning out really well. This is my first show, if you like. Well, yesterday was my first showing. I've never really put them up for sale, really, but this is... I'm quite pleased people are quite interested with them.
What about the tools that you use for this? I mean, the detail is amazing, as you say, with, like, the deer head and the dogs and everything. The detail's fabulous. Are the tools very small and intricate, or are they quite bulky?
To start, I start off with a block of a piece of wood, whatever it is. I do prefer lime wood for that. It's very soft and it's easy to work with. To get the basic shape, I'll do a template on a piece of card and cut it out and mark my timber, cut it out on a bandsaw, and then I file it down with an old rasp, big heavy duty, to get some near the shape, and then a wider chisel. And when we get down to the intricate stuff to get the detail, we use little palm chisels, very intricate, tiny things, eighth of an inch end on them and stuff, to get the finish.
You see, you make it sound so easy. I know if I actually took that up, I'd probably sort of have just two broken bits of stick, basically, and so that's it. It's true.
Yeah, very much so. Well, it's same with the horn sticks. A lot of time and labour goes into them, and people don't realise. Then when they come along and they say there was something carving in it, you know, I mean, that is hours and hours of work. And then when you come to the realistic, the price of them, they just don't want to know.
But they're supporting the Yorkshire Ambulance thing. That's the key amongst other things. Just to sort of set the scene to explain that, we've got sticks and tools, and then we've got, obviously, Ken McKinney's stick carver. I'm just getting my head around it. Do you work together, gentlemen?
No, we just met
recently, a few weeks
ago, didn't we, Ken?
Yeah.
And here you are sharing the same space at Countryside Live. It's just a small world, really.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Yeah. There's an awful lot of people out there doing it.
The clog man here as well to come. He's another friend of mine, as you know, and through me he's got here. He's only here today. He was busy at a wedding yesterday, and he's going to cause some interest here today.
On a slightly serious note, this is a very traditional art. We often hear about the rural arts kind of beginning to die out and everything's mass-produced, etc. And you seem to be going very much against the grain in every sense of the word. I mean, clearly, you know, do you find that actually, you know, there's always going to be a place for this quality craftsmanship?
Oh, yeah, yeah. There are always people wanting them. You know, I mean, some want them just for ornaments to hang on a wall, and others want the traditional sticks to use.
And I see, Ken, that behind you there you've got a selection of hammers in case customers get out of order. Or indeed, yes, just in case they're actually there so that everything else is sorted too. Jill, any final questions?
Well, only I would like to add, I mean, listening to you there, the point is that you can go into any shop, can't you, these days, and get mass-produced rubbish and pay cheaply. And I think people can't look at this and feel that way. I mean, yes, there is a cost implied, but you've got to think of the hours of work that have gone in and the tools and the actual the materials themselves are such good quality. And it, as you say, you're buying a piece of art, really. You're not just buying a stick or a walking stick. It's something to treasure. And as you say, you can actually display that like a piece of art, can't you?
Yeah. Well, many of my sales are done up at Skipton Auction. The sheep dock sales, sheep sales, the six-weekly agricultural mix sale. And I'm finding now that after 3 or 4 years, as soon as I arrive at 9 o'clock on a Saturday morning, there's people waiting for the older tools, you know, which have been reshafted and rejuvenated. And there's people bringing, you know, and go to the stand where I usually am Saturday morning. There can be a bag of old tools waiting for me. You know, somebody's just dumped them to be refurbished and go on. And people want the older type tool now.
And on that note, we will actually go by reminding people that there is a new type 2. Presumably, Ken, is there an internet address that you'd like to mention? Is there a web address that you've got where people can get in touch with you?
My address is, it's Wancliffe Lane, Holman Spalding Bourne. I also have I can put my glasses.
Not to worry. I mean, it's just a case of there's a line from that. I'm sure we can actually find out various other things. But,
my email is kenmack@gmx.com.
Fantastic. Ken, for the moment, many thanks indeed. And long may you continue. Both gentlemen, any thanks.
Thank you.